Live from Stadium Swim at Circa, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Sports Reno.
Here we go, Reno. Welcome in. Cofield and Company, like we always are on Thursday, Stadium Swim, Circa Las Vegas. Hello to everyone up there at Legends Bay. We got to make that Reno trip, man. I was told, hey, you know, or I was asked, hey, have some interest in going up there, doing some shows from the Bay. Yes. Did I commit anyone else? No.
I'm in.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. We were just discussing the 180-pack now that's available, brewskis. I think I'm going to someone's place this weekend for a cookout.
Why is cookout in quotes?
Well, because we talked about a lot last year.
You did, for those listening, he did the hand quotes.
Because I don't. You remember the discussion last year about, like, folks use the term cookout instead of barbecue?
Yeah.
Okay. You remember what the parameters were?
I mean, in my head, I'm picturing what the parameters
okay,
are.
Okay, it was a discussion we had with, oh, I don't know, Xavier, Miles, Caleb,
right,
Curtis Harry.
Exactly.
So it was more of an African American thing, and I'm like, I never actually called it a cookout.
Yeah.
And when here's the thing, when I have people over, it ain't a cookout. There's like, you get hot dogs or hamburgers, and there's a salad and a bunch of stuff we bought out of bags. It's not a cookout.
Well, that's a very white barbecue.
It's a lazy white barbecue. Yeah. There are whites.
Well, you also don't, let's also,
who really do it up.
Let's also point out the truth. You also randomly cook leftovers, but like throw it on the grill and try to call it something different.
This has always been a misnomer. I may have thrown a leftover on there once, and now it's like that's what people get when they come over. Yeah. I just scour the fridge.
Yeah, like, what's left over?
I'm like, this is less than 9 days old. No, you guys got on me. And by the way, the other cookout discussion was with the king of the cookout on this show, Mark McMillan.
Sure.
And then Mark always goes back to the fact that I threw pizza rolls on the cookout. By the way, I just saw like a high-level repurposing of pizza rolls on a TikTok video. It's in. I was ahead of the trend.
But that's a high-level repurposing, not whatever you did.
Yeah, just get some grill marks on the...
And also, while we're here,
yeah,
I watched an episode of the David Chang Show.
Hold on. Okay, 420. 420, because I got one of your comedians coming up.
Okay.
Hold on. Omaha! Red Cadillac! Big Booty! Okay, that wasn't audible. Four is out. Actually, three's... No. Yeah, four's out. Number four on the big four is out. Let's get to the big four.
Okay.
Battleborn Injury Lawyers presents the Big Four at Four. Number four.
Okay. We're not mentioning the business, but you're going to know what it is because we've been talking about it. So for the NBA Finals, a contest has been introduced. In the past, we've had some free tacos, right? This time, again, I'm not mentioning the business because this is what they're looking for, and you don't get it because you make a quick move. I admire the move, but you don't get the pub when you don't advertise. So we've been talking about a fast food joint that Keith Lee jumped on.
Sure.
The best and most famous food critic, influential food critic in the United States now. He got on a place that makes burritos, and he's like, this just ain't the same. And then there's been a lot of videos. It's not the same as it was 10 years ago. I'm missing stuff. I'm not getting chicken and this. Like, it looks like there's been portion control here. There's shrinkflation. Prices up, portions down. Right? So that same company's come out with a promotion for two made free throws in the NBA Finals. Like, anytime there's two made free throws, they're going to send out codes, and 500 people can win a free burrito. They potentially, I don't know how they came up with this number. Oh, you know what? They're going to cap it.
With even less meat?
They're going to, right? Now, believe me, that was one of my questions. They're going to cap it at, I think it was 17,500 free burritos a game for the entire country. But that could amount to what seven games, 17, right? It's like 120,000 burritos over a seven-game series. Their burritos cost about $15. That's like $1.8 million.
Well, If you get the free burrito, do you have to pay for guacamole or do they include that?
I don't know, and I don't know if they include the I told you the other issue was their vinaigrette. People are going crazy because they're charging for their vinaigrette when it used to be free. So, but here's the point. This is what we want. Power to the people! Right? We want to be able to affect change.
Okay. And, that's the change.
And
that's the change.
Hey, dude, it's at least they're trying something. They're trying something because what we've seen is employees are claiming that, hey, they've been told, you go over 4 ounces of freaking protein in that thing and we are on your ass. So at least they're trying to smooth things over here, because the other thing that got them in a little bit of hot water was their CEO went on a show about 9 days ago and he's like, I promise you the burritos haven't gotten smaller and we haven't cut down on the portions. And then he stands here and he goes, hey, you know what? If you don't see enough protein in your burrito or bowl, he goes, just give the person making the food a look. And the look was kind of like, and everyone's like, what are you talking about? Like a little like connection? No.
I like it.
Oh, you know what would be great? Is like if the employee goes, well, they gave me the look, and the CEO said, the look means I have to put more in. This has been a big thing on social media. I like the dream of like the little guy affecting some change, and millions of people are in on this, so at least they stepped up for the – and here's the funny thing. They may have had this promotion set up like 2 months ago.
Well, it's kind of like a speakeasy, right? It's only the cool people know the code to give the look. Like, yeah, you know. Yeah.
Oh, more chicken.
Oh, I got you.
Got it.
The problem is you're going to be like staring at people at the place, right? At the place, and they're going to be like, sir, what's your problem?
Yes, why are you?
What if you're not good at giving looks and you're just creepy?
What if what if they're videoing you and then you go viral for being some creepy harasser? Not good.
I actually, you know what? I'm going to go today and just stare the person down.
Will you take video of it the whole time, though?
Well, then they'll know what you're doing. I need to get a third person to do it.
That's the other claim, is that they will bulk up their meals if they know they're being videoed.
I've been discussing with some people starting a YouTube channel. This might be video one.
Are you going to name it Sports Too Soon?
I don't know. That sounds like a terrible name for something.
It is a terrible name. It sounds like a terrible concept.
I wonder if I get to Twitter.
I don't know if anyone's ever tried that one. Number three.
Number three.
I'm really not much of a uniform guy. Every once in a while, I think one really pops. Every once in a while, something's horrible. For the most part, I don't care. I saw the Vikings social media going around with like this all-white uniform, and I guess you love it?
They're sick. I love this uniform.
Quote,
it's great.
Winter Warrior.
The Winter Warrior. The Vikings, it's the all-white. Now, I kind of wish that they didn't have the bright purple numbers on there. They are still great. I love them. I wish it was just all-white. I would love that. The purple does stand out. I'm all in on this. I love everything about the uniform. And I know, as you said, you're not a uniform guy. I feel like I'm not, but then every time a new uniform comes out, I like love it or hate it. Like I'm all in on them. But I love this look. You were out?
I'm out.
I feel like people that were in were very in, and people that are out were very out.
I'm out because I'm concerned about the players, and you know who I'm concerned about the most.
Big guys?
Yep. Because UNLV will go with a white uniform every once in a while, and listen, not every offensive lineman is built like Tony Mandarich, from back in the old days, and he might have been doing something to help the cause there, a little roidage. Guys have guts. And the real tight white uniforms that ain't flattering. By the way, you notice on this show, if you ever see the videos of the show or pictures, like, no one here is wearing white. That's why last week, I went, like, next level on Mark Davis and defending him against the rumors with, what was her name, Hayden Hopkins?
Yes.
And I was like, Mark is like, he's a pretty solid number. I mean, the haircut probably could use a side part.
A solid number?
As an attractive older male. But I the thing I admire is that he's daring. He wears white. He's fit enough that he can wear all white. I can't.
Just randomly, on the screen here at Stadium Swim, saw that Joey Gallo struck out looking on a pitch that he jumped out of the way of. I don't know why that story made me think of him.
Why must you hurt me so much?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know why. Yeah, I have no idea. Number two.
Number two.
Utah is down to... Oh, this was their owner on the other day?
Ryan Smith, yeah.
Okay. I saw McAfee doing something. I thought he was looking at him on the phone. Maybe he was looking at videos.
They're down to Zoom.
They're down to six names?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you happy?
Well, Yeti's in, so that's good. I don't hate that.
Man, I don't know.
They're definitely...
I like two, maybe a third. I don't like some of the others.
Well, here's the thing. They are definitely on track to, and these are trivia questions that pop up, like bar trivia things all the time of teams that don't have an S at the end of their name. They definitely seem on track for that because they've got Yeti, which is, you know, pretty solid. They've got Utah HC, which I'd be in for. Utah Hockey Club.
Horrendous.
I love that.
Horrendous.
The Blizzard, the Mammoth, and the Venom. The only one that ends in S they have is the Outlaws, which I love for a Vegas team. Don't necessarily love for a Utah team. It's like the most non-outlaw place ever.
What are they doing?
I don't know. They're not outlaws.
Outlaws?
They're not.
Well, they kind of are.
Well, yeah, I guess so.
Is that what it is? Like sneaky? They're like, yeah, let's admit who we are.
No. And for those, you know, I know there was people that were hoping for the wild card. Like, the Soakers didn't make it.
I could not remember why I remember the conversation. No, it was going to be, again, they were trying, I think McAfee's show wanted to also go with that no S at the end. It was just going to be the Utah, Utah Soak, or, because he kept referencing him as the Soak.
Yeah. Yeah. They're obsessed with Soak.
Right.
So that's like a running staple.
Boy, I'm glad they're doing radio now. They're finally catching up.
Good.
This was a good topic. Going, who was the basketball player? The guy who played with the Sixers eventually, 6'9" dude, their center who got sidelined. I think he got sidelined for a whole season for soaking.
Yeah.
Or did he have full intercourse?
Was it Brandon Davies?
Was that the problem? It was Brandon Davies.
I think there was motion.
Did he actually had motion?
Yeah, I think there was motion.
Okay. Anyone listening right now, we're not going to explain soaking, but if you know what it is, I hope there's a smile on your face right now.
It's going fairly mainstream now, so. Not the activity, but the definition.
No, it's not a violation, right? You're trying to stay safe?
Yeah.
Unless you're Brandon Davies for some reason.
I don't know that there's official rules.
You don't think they bring you in front of the council?
That soaking is allowed. I don't think it's written.
We have to go blog side for this one. We can't. Yeah. All right. Number one.
Number one.
I have a lot of thoughts. You know, I've always had a lot of thoughts. We've discussed those thoughts, but on terrestrial, everything has changed.
It was more late night happy hour.
Give me a little Ozzie Guillen here talking about what it's like to be a White Sox fan in Chicago.
I want chicken and nugget, abuelo. Look at that. Hey, friend. First thing, go, hey, Ozzie, how you doing? We beat you last night. I like, yeah, you guys. The kids from McDonald's. He sees me every day.
Wearing you out.
No, he's just kicking my butt.
Yep. So, Ozzie Guillen, who's a lifelong White Sox, he loves the White Sox, and he says, you know, one of the rough things is now when he goes to his fast food joint to go get his McNuggets or whatever else, the kids are busting his chops.
Yeah. Well, he also, I mean, earlier he was talking about how he's like, a lot of people, he's like, I get paid to go through the torture. Like, other fans out there are paying their money to be tortured. Like, that sucks. He's like, at least I get paid for it. But then he went on to talk about the abuse that he's taking from the fast food workers who are all Cubs fans. Now, I think the bigger story that came out of this is that he's going there every day for breakfast.
That is, I was surprised by that. 364-1100, four tickets right now to the ESPN Fan Zone. Aces Storm tomorrow night, Mick Ultra Arena. You can get your tickets at AXS.com. Thanks to West Star Credit Union and Finley Volkswagen Henderson. Four pack to the Aces and Storm tomorrow at the MUA. 364-1100.
Live from Stadium Swim at Circa Las Vegas, it's Cofield and Company.
It's something they think that you're supposed to do. No, you tip for good service. I don't tip for bad service. But it's a stigma that black people don't tip. So I feel like I cannot tip.
Another top 13.5-er for Adam's current day best comedians. Ali Sadiq? Yes?
Yeah.
Okay. Vast Sound Crew pulled that one, talking about tipping. Finish off this part of his bit as I guess he has another twist on what he does when he actually does tip.
I get a waiter back. I don't tip my bad-ass waiter. I tip other people in the restaurant. The person who sent me, hey, there's a little something for you. the bus boy, there's a little something for you. And then when I leave, my waitress, he was so cheap, he didn't tip me at all. And everybody else, well, he tipped everyone else.
Okay. And he's funny?
It's a good move.
That is a good move, actually.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a good backstory. Like, he definitely got a late start.
Yeah. Well, he was in the penitentiary, right?
He was, yeah.
I saw him go back and do a show like 6 years ago at a jail, which was pretty good, but it was so jail-heavy in the material that I don't think I got like the full feel.
Play to the audience.
What, you better.
Yeah.
Or else.
Yeah.
They didn't have a lot of security there. It's like, and he's not big.
Jeff Ross did that too, by the way.
Oh, yeah?
He did. He went and roasted prisoners in jail.
Oh,
it's a good move.
Okay,
that's
coming out of the book of Johnny Cash, huh?
That's gutsy.
Okay, all right. I'll check him out more. Did you see the viral deal about a week ago? Someone had a video on tipping and said his policy on tipping now is if he's got to stand up to order and get his food, no tip. So basically anything at the counter, not going to happen.
Well, I always leave something.
I think what a lot of people are reacting to now is the tablet flipped around after taking an order, and then your options are 20, 25, and 30%.
Yeah.
There's also other or custom.
There is.
But you have to pay attention.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw someone whining about some place here, a coffee shop here, that they actually reversed it. It was like 50, 30, 20, and the 50 was first, and they took 50% not even knowing because they weren't paying attention.
That happens.
That's a little bit of a dirty move.
Well, it'll give away the place, but I have, you know, I always pay through my app at a certain drive-through coffee place, and I have it set to automatically tip like $2 every time I order because for the most part, they are standing in the heat taking your order.
Right.
And
they can do they come out to the car?
Yeah. Cuz there's so many people
they have
lined
up. Double line or single line?
Double usually.
You have any issues with the double line?
It's not great cuz there's always arguments about who's there. It sucks.
I had an issue with the ATM the other day where there's three ATMs.
Sure.
There's enough room when you're coming in for two cars to slide in. And so of course, I pulled up. I'm in the middle. And then some guy slides up on the right while I'm waiting for the quickest one of the three.
Right.
I didn't flip out. I was in a good mood. I honked the horn, and the guy like throws his hands up, and he's like, go! I'm like, just go. I'm like, if you're that in that much of a hurry, you're clearly more important to me than me. I'm not going to get worked up. But like are you that spacey that you can't see what's happening here?
No, they just don't care. They know.
And that's what I thought, and that's why like I should get mad, but what am I going to do?
Well, his argument,
T-bone him against the wall if he's going in front of me?
His argument would be it's luck of the draw. Take the first. But it's not true.
Not.
I'm with you.
Be a decent human being.
Yeah, and I've had it a couple times where I'm waiting for just whatever the next one is.
Yep.
Then everybody just line up single file behind, and everybody can just take the next one, and people just zoom around and just, I'm going to this one. Like, okay, fine. But yeah, the coffee place today, nobody's coming out, which I'm fine with. It's hot. But then you get to the front, and you're like, I'm tipping this person inside.
You already tipped.
The same amount that I would have tipped them.
You're a buffoon.
If they came to the car.
You are ruining it for all of us.
That's fair.
You are.
That's fair.
Okay.
But I do get the, and I always tip when they come to the table. I had one yesterday with, it's a fast casual, I guess I would describe it. Really good spot over on Rainbow. Love this place. I was there with a friend of mine who was paying because I was providing an airport ride, so he had to pay for dinner. That's fine. And then I went to clean up the stuff off the table to like take it up, and he was like, no, I tipped. They have to come get it. And I was like, I'm not comfortable with that.
Wow, okay, I never thought of that one.
We should just still take our stuff up. Now, we were the only people in the place. I was like, I think we should still take it up. He's like, no, I tipped. They should come get it. Which I understand the logic, I guess.
It's quite the battle right now of philosophies.
But I kept it on the table. We walked out to the car, and I said, oh, hold on, I need to go back to the bathroom. And I went and took the stuff up myself.
Why do I feel like if, because you have these tipping debates
all the time,
why do I feel like if you sat down at a fast casual or even a nicer restaurant with Dave Cavill and John Fisher, you'd be on the side that would want to tip a lot, and they'd want to have some argument about it.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
And those guys, of course, are the president and owner of the A's.
To be fair, John Fisher doesn't have money.
He's got money. he doesn't have $500 million
liquid.
He doesn't
have access to it.
I don't think this is like a trust fund thing. I don't think it's an allowance thing.
Well, this money's all tied up in stock.
I mean, we know from afar, we see rich people who grow accustomed to never really have to really lay out money.
Also,
they can always go on credit, and there's really never a time when it's like, hey, it's time to pay up.
This is I'm going to veer us off track for a second, but it's relevant. I actually went to a mall the other day, and I didn't see there was not a person in sight.
Wow.
It was open. All the stores were open. But I will say, there wasn't a Gap there. Is that still a thing?
Well, they owned Old Navy. So Old Navy's still pretty big.
All right.
I think Gap's still a thing.
That's where all the stock is. That's why I'm saying it. But I don't remember seeing a Gap anywhere.
I ordered online
from Old Navy
a while back.
If I told you right now, go.
And then I think I said at the time, I'm like, I'm not buying pants there anymore unless he nuts up.
Right now.
They have nice, stretchy, kind of fat boy pants. They have a lot of slim stuff.
But
they got a nice little, it's comfortable.
And I guess that's our thing. Old Navy would be the savior, I guess. But if I told you to go to a Gap, would you be able to find one, or do you have to look it up? I don't know where there is one.
There's probably a lot more than you think in Vegas.
All right. I literally was at the mall. I walked the entire mall twice.
You did.
And I didn't see one.
I think this is worth some research.
Well, the whole point was, would you be able to do it without looking it up? So apparently, no.
No, I don't really know where anything is. I kind of just stumble upon stuff.
That's fair. I think in my mind, I'm picturing where there's two Old Navies. So that's something.
I know where one of those is. So on this
on this
A's thing the other day with the 10% of games, home games outside the market request, they want to play on the road. I was on a thread and you were on it, and there was a lot of flipping out.
Yeah.
So now you thought about it for a couple of days. They made the request the other day. They want to play 10% of their games away from Las Vegas. I've seen lots of reasons why. The reason that Dave Cavill stated was it's a good opportunity to additionally brand on a bigger scale the A's. Like, what? You're playing in Las Vegas. What do you mean? You have to brand yourself. Uh-huh. You're Las Vegas. That's the brand.
There's three gaps in Vegas.
Okay.
The whole thing's weird. Plus, it's the way that it's being discussed, right? Which you said that, the branding part. And then there was a quote that came out that was basically, hey, look, sometimes the league, the league will put you in some series. Maybe the Little League game. Maybe you're in the Mexico City games. There's a London series that went on. You never know what the league's going to do. So we need to make sure that if we were in one of those situations, that there's no issue with the stadium deal. We just need to make it, make it sure it's in the language.
So we're going to cap it at 8. I think, to my knowledge, I may be way off on this. Have they ever played more than 10 of those games in a season? The whole league.
Total.
The whole league in a year.
To be fair, you don't know where that's going. But I would say 3 would be the extreme. So like the Mexico City series, I think it's 2 games.
Right. I think Korea was 2 for the Dodgers and Padres.
Right.
They've done Japan. Do they play 1 or 2 games of the dopey Field of Dreams thing?
I think 1.
So they're capping it at 7 or 8 because they think they're going to be in every one of them?
Well, they're going to be amazing.
By the way, why is you think Major League Baseball is going to be like, the first team we want in there to grow the game is?
The team that we want in there is the one that absolutely needs to sell out 81 games a season to make their projections.
And that too. They put up numbers. We got to get 30,000 for every freaking game for 81 dates. Knock it down to 73.
Yeah. It's preposterous.
What is happening? I've had everyone on the show the last couple days give their deal on this. Have you figured it out?
No.
You have the A's whisperer on the staff. You don't talk to him at the RJ?
I don't think anybody really knows. I think the A's are doing their best to try to pretend this isn't real. It's real.
What's not real?
That they're even, like, that's just standard language.
Weird.
It's weird. I mean, clearly they're going to look for other revenue opportunities, which again, team should. But you came up with projections where you had to sell out every single game.
81 games at home.
So if you do want to brand out and have games elsewhere, I don't think that's a terrible idea. I think it's smart for revenue and smart for expanding your brand, those sort of things. That is smart. But what about the fact that you have to sell out every game to make your projection? We're going to ignore that. We're going to try to have two different things. But this is, to me, this is just the A's. This is what they are. That's what they do. They have no rhyme or reason. There's no plan. It's just throwing everything at the wall.
And, again, this is why the jabrons who said yes on the vote, you did no research. This, you could easily find out that this is kind of the way this works with these guys, that every 3 or 6 months is something oddly adventurous where you're like, wait, this doesn't sound like the agreement. Where's the trust between us?
Live from Stadium Swim at Circa, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Sports Reno.
Beautiful day here at Circa Las Vegas. About 109. We're in Cabana 7, so if you come in, look for us and mark it down. We're here every Thursday. We're going to be here every Thursday through the summer. And we'll announce what's happening for football season, which, by the way, is a lot closer than you think. In about 10 minutes, we'll get to some of the college football win totals that are out. And also the national schedule for the playoffs. It's a playoff system with 12 teams, so it's going to go on for a while. A lot of great college football, we hope, in December and January. Depending on the sources, two aggressive actions to speak about. We'll see which one was more aggressive. Asia Wilson last night led the Aces to a 95-81 victory. They won against the spread. You heard that, right? By 14. Dallas brought it to them, just like Atlanta did. And I think a lot of teams around the league are like, yeah, we're not intimidated anymore, and we're going to try to intimidate you and beat you up. I actually think it's a really good way to potentially get Asia Wilson out of her game. Instead, last night, she responded nicely with 36 points. Shot nearly 70%. Grabbed 14 rebounds. Had 6 steals. She also got her face busted up. And I was watching, and she was pretty much calling for a foul on every time she went to the hoop. And Becky Hammon was getting all worked up. And she did get hit in the face, and I think she lost a contact. And it kind of busted open a cut on her nose. I saw a tweet. Someone said, some dark angel lady who I guess covers a lot of WNBA. At least that's what she is on Twitter, like Dark Angel 21. Asia Wilson got clocked in the face 3 times tonight, had a bandage over her nose because she was bleeding, had 36 points. Would love to see some commentary on this performance tomorrow from all the shows.
Yeah.
Now that is a reference to the stuff last week with Chicago and most of the season with the way people have played Caitlin Clark.
Right.
Now, did that get commentary on all the shows today? No.
No.
It was physical.
Not just a rough play. It was a historic game. Nobody had ever done that in a game before, what Asia Wilson did.
Well, she's had a run here of what? Like, is it like eight straight double-doubles to open the year, whatever the record is?
I think it was 35 points, shooting over 65% from the field with 5 steals and 10 rebounds. It never happened.
She's really good.
Yeah.
And whether she can make them or not, she's got people believing that she can make threes. So she's doing like the remember old Dunkin' Donuts? Remember Nick Duncan at Boise? Where the difference is Nick Duncan could make threes but was never going to blow by you, because we used to talk about the pump and go. There was no go. With Asia, it's going to be a go. It's rarely going to be a three. But she's getting better at three to make it at least a slight threat where people jump into it and get blown by.
The biggest thing she worked on this offseason, she worked on it a lot, and she wants to unveil that part of her game. She wants to keep stretching it. And, look, she's been stepping out and making shots. So that's going to make that even more effective when she does do that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Pretty physical.
It deserves attention, but it's not going to happen.
Well, part of it is her drawing the attention, you know? And the rookie class came in with a lot of hype. And they're all kind of feeling growing pains, because last night the Sparks got blown off the floor and Brink wasn't great. And then I think the emotional side of things is going to affect Angel Reese. I think she can hype herself up, but she's got to – I would concentrate on basketball and being a physical bruiser on the floor rather than, you know, do so much social media. But whatever she wants to do, she's going to build her brand. That physicality, from what I heard, I didn't get to see it yet. And we can continue with this on the other side. We got like 30 seconds here. Nate Diaz?
Yeah.
And Jorge Masvidal?
Yeah.
Press conference today and
got nasty.
Brouhaha?
It was a real brawl. It wasn't it, because a lot of people were like, looked like it was trying to be staged for you know, for hype, which they needed the hype.
Yeah.
But there were some real injuries that took place, so it was nasty.
Well, we'll get an update on the injuries and what happened, because you were involved in one of these things years ago here where someone whipped a water bottle at your head from like 6 feet away. You almost got it right in the face.
Hanging at Stadium Swim inside Circa Las Vegas, it's Cofield and Company.
Was there any diversity in Wyoming, though? It's 90% white people in Wyoming. Let's walk you through what that means. Go to a basketball court and you're balling.
Yeah.
You walk into any public basketball court and you're like, hey, I got next. And they're like, ooh, this guy's good.
Yeah.
No Asians.
You're the smartest guy in the room sometimes. At the gym, people are like, I've never seen muscle development like that. Your shoulders are jacked.
In the showers are like, ooh, big coming through.
Your level of Spanish is considered bilingual there.
I am bilingual. Yeah, by the way, I can open up a Mexican restaurant.
There you go. Bert and Tom, we talked to them at the Super Bowl. Segura, Kreischer, breaking news. Bert might open a Mexican restaurant in Wyoming.
It'll be good. It'll be a place to eat, finally.
Is that... Well, make sure it's not too far away from your hotel, because there's no rideshare. Found that every year. Two bears, one cave?
Yeah, among many other things.
Yeah. I like that conversation, because I've often thought every time I go to Wyoming, I'm like, I don't know how they recruit a football team here.
They don't bring them.
They have a pretty diverse roster. And when people go there, I'm not sure, like, do they... I don't know where they bring him, because I don't think they show him Laramie, Laradice.
I don't think they bring him there. They just go recruit on the road, show him film.
Here's some video, and it's not really Laramie.
Yeah, especially basketball players. We get a lot. They had a pipeline from Chicago for a while.
They did.
Yeah,
they did.
What were we talking about with I forgot it was 4 o'clock hour. The Martin twins, when they thought they were going to Las Vegas.
Yep.
And we're stunned when they showed up in Reno and like, what?
I think that story might have been embellished a bit.
By them. They're the ones that tell the story. So, I mean, it's not like somebody else is relaying it and saying it. Like, they're the ones that have told the story. Like, we thought we were going to Las Vegas.
It was a good get.
Yeah.
You know how much money they've made? Musselman?
Yeah.
That's like part of that classic story where, you know, we talk about schools making money off of kids and coaches, like, I think it would have worked no matter what, because he was such a crazy recruiter. He had other good players on those teams, aside from the Martin twins. But, yeah, those guys helped out a lot and led the Wolfpack into a pretty damn good era of basketball, which has continued. They keep making the tournament under Alford with his 10-year deal. Okay, so we went to the break, and I want to get to – there was actually a good story on Nevada Sportsnet written by Chris Murray, who was – analyzing the quarterback situations around the Mountain West Conference, which I think 90% of them are in flux. There's question marks with almost everyone. We'll get to that inside of 4 minutes. But when are Nick Diaz and Matt, they're fighting?
Yeah, I think it's in end of July.
Where were they doing a press conference?
At the pond, I believe. I know it was in Anaheim. I think they were right outside the pond, but based on where I've seen some other outdoor press conferences there before. I think Brock Lesnar did one out there.
Okay.
With, like, Cain Velasquez. They do it on, like, the east side of the building, in the plaza.
And a brawl broke out, huh?
My Anaheim geography knowledge. And it was one of those things where you're like, oh, it's a press conference. They're just trying to spark some interest. And then you see, oh, no, there are some real punches being thrown. And in the aftermath, if you watch the video, you see one of Masvidal's coaches just out cold.
Really?
And then there's some criticism I saw from people. I think a lot of it is joking. But then a couple people started to attend to the knocked out cold coach. And they're like, The fight is still going on.
Yeah.
Help out the people that are still fighting. He's done. He's out.
Oh, wow.
You got to help out with the other guys that are actually fighting still. So it
was,
this
is this is because both guys are out of the UFC. This is a boxing match.
Yeah.
And it's July 6th.
Wow. Coming up.
All right. I got to watch the video. I haven't seen it, so I can't really speak to it.
Look,
but it's kind of par for the course with both guys. They're always talking about fighting and fighting outside the ring. So yeah. They actually did it. I hope someone didn't get hurt seriously. But
yeah, and you know, as you pointed out, like I don't think a lot of people knew this was happening or going on. I know a lot of people didn't know the press conference was happening. So this is the kind of thing that's absolutely going to help. Like, you don't want to see people get hurt. You don't want to see actual fights, but you know that people are going to be much more interested in the fight now that this happened.
What was the fight card with the Diaz brothers involved where a brawl broke out here? It was Connor and Nate?
It was Connor and Nate won, I believe.
Right. And then who was part of Camp Diaz, like, was trying to throw a water bottle at someone, a small one.
Chris Avila.
Yeah. And was like, his aim was not very good.
Yeah.
And he gunned it right at your face.
Yeah, he was trying to throw somebody like two rows above me.
Right.
And he went low.
Did it hit your hair?
No, it was like ear.
Oh yeah,
like right on the side of the head. But luckily, I mean, it would have been bad.
It would have broken your glasses.
Oh yeah,
for sure.
And maybe like an orbital. It was pretty hard.
So he has a gun, but it's inaccurate.
Yeah, it was because it was a like one of the. You would hope it was like a. You usually have like a club or a pool area. You get like the smaller bottles that are kind of flimsy if you actually try to throw them.
Yeah,
this is he had brought it himself.
Oh,
so it was more of like a sturdy, like an actual
probably half frozen.
Probably
economical.
It was full.
I froze it.
It was. I got. I will say. I was very lucky, but it could have been pretty bad.
So this story that Nevada Sportsnet has up, you take a look at this. It's pretty interesting because not only is the Mountain West Conference full of lots of new football coaches, a lot of turnover around the league. Well, most of the quarterbacks either graduated, transferred. Or are the next guys in the pipeline. So Chris Murray put it in a bunch of tiers. Tier 1, Heisman Trophy candidates, none. Tier 2, championship caliber. Mikey Keene at Fresno, he is really good.
Yeah.
And their season would have been different had he not been injured in the middle of it. And when he came back, he wasn't recovered. Tier 3, Colorado State with Braden Fowler Nicolosi and Hawaii with Braden Shager. I mean, I guess they're both experienced, but they're also both very mistake prone. Now this is year two with Shager. I keep saying Shager. Shager in the system of Timmy Chang, which that does change things.
Sure.
I thought Fowler Nicolosi was good. He had, you know, he was very good at times, and then not so good in times in that UNLV game. And that was another one of those UNLV games that was very dramatic back and forth. Tier 4, Boise State with Maddox Madsen and Malachi Nelson. Now, Nelson is a former five-star from USC, was there, top 15 prospect. I'm not sure if there's, and it's labeled talented question marks. Nelson might be really good.
Yeah.
He might not be for a while.
That sounds like a talented question mark.
Yeah. Nevada's next.
Okay.
Brendan Lewis, Chuba Purdy, Anthony Grigsby and Bianco. Bianco and Lewis were there. I think the jury's in on them. Like, I think Lewis is a good runner, but he's a wildly inaccurate thrower. He can throw a good deep ball. Then there's a Tier 5, UNLV. So UNLV, he lists Matthew Sluka and Haj Malik Williams, points out FCS guys, both really productive at FCS. I'm not saying there's any guarantees on Sluka and Haj Malik. But if that quarterback combo can't match the Wolfpack quarterback combo, then that is a dead under on the wins.
Sure.
The win total for UNLV is 7.5. I don't think they can win more than 7 games if the Rebel quarterbacks are worse than the Pack quarterbacks.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment.
Right? And again, I'm not saying that I think either group is going to be unreal. I don't know. But I do know that two of the guys challenging in Lewis and Bianco have just not been that good. And then Chuba Purdy, it's like his ninth stop, and obviously you recognize the last name. He's not Brock. And maybe there's still some upside. He's been at some good stops, but just it hasn't worked out. So, and then after that, I will guarantee you there's a quarterback in this bottom five group. Wow, five more groups are below. The Wolfpack, huh? New Mexico with Dampier, who's a good runner. Air Force, I honestly don't care who the Air Force quarterback is because it's a system. And sure. And then after that, Utah State, I think Utah State has brought, they have, I think all four of these guys are transfers. Yeah. Iowa transfer, Utah, Boise, and Arizona State transfers. I have a lot of respect for Anderson. Something or some ones are going to work.
Yeah.
And then San Diego State, but I would not sleep on San Diego State and their quarterback situation because, again, they've brought in a bunch of transfers. I think Sean Lewis is a really good coach. You know, he was a coordinator at Colorado, got dumped for some reason. And then Wyoming is a question. We'll find out. But, you see, it's not. This isn't even like, hey, this is insulting to this school or that school. You see, like, after Mikey Keene, Fowler, Nicolosi, and Shager, all bets are off.
Yeah, I think that's
fair. No idea.
I think it's fair, and it's so many newcomers, so many guys that haven't done it with these teams, with these systems. There's a ton of question marks all over the place.
You guys had a story the other day about the Rebels and their win total at 7.5. I didn't get to read it. I can't get into your paper anymore. Well, I choose not to, but what do you think of a 7.5 number? Under is a plus. I said plus minus is a under 7.5 wins for the Rebels is a plus 134.
Wow, so it's over is favorite. I mean,
let me double check that.
The schedule's pretty.
We have it on the rundown. I want to make sure I have that right.
Well, I'm looking. I don't.
No, the over is. I'm sorry. So the favorite is minus 165 with under 7.5. Okay.
That makes more sense. I think it's gonna be tough. The schedule is not easy at all. Now, there's some games like week one. Could they win that game? They could. It's going to be tough.
At Houston, at Kansas, two of the first 3 weeks.
Yeah.
At Kansas is a freaking bear.
It's also neutral, technically. They're not playing in Lawrence.
Right.
They're playing in Kansas City.
Which the soccer stadium holds 18,000. I'm guessing 16-9 will be 17-4 will be Kansas fans.
Yeah, for sure. But, I mean, it's not on campus. You don't have to go their usual place, which actually might make it more difficult, but
yeah.
It is off campus, so we'll see how that plays out. But those, you know, those games are not easy.
Nope.
And oftentimes, you could start to go in the wrong direction, right? The confidence wanes and start second guessing some things, and that's what happens. I don't think that's going to happen with this coaching staff, even if they lose those games, but it could happen, and that's something you have to something you have to look out for sure. It's kind of what I talk about the Raiders, where there's all these high hopes and everybody's so enthusiastic. They're underdogs in their first two games, and they're both on the road. And if you're 0-2...
What does that do to you?
What does that do? So even games that you think you're going to win later on, like, where are you as a mentality if you lose those first two games? So that's some things you have to analyze. That's why a lot of these win totals and, you know, season odds and those sort of things don't come out until the actual schedule is released. Even though you know in the NFL who you're playing, well, the order matters.
If they had done it for UNLV 3 weeks ago, you don't know about Friday games.
Yeah.
And now they've got four Friday games.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're at Houston, then home Utah Tech, at Kansas, home Fresno, home Syracuse, we think on Saturday, and then they go on the road at Utah State, at Oregon State. Now, realize the other thing is, as you're going through this gauntlet early with a couple of road games against Big 12 teams, you may also still have a quarterback battle being waged.
Yeah.
And again, to your point, what happens if you lose early, then all of a sudden, and a quarterback doesn't establish himself? I mean, this could be something that does a drag into 3 and 4 games, and 5 games.
Yeah, certainly. Certainly a possibility. So
I think the roster across the board at other positions is bigger and stronger and deeper than it's ever been. Like, literally every position. But make no mistake about it. I'm going to keep saying this. It'll be a theme I say all the way through the early part of the season. For all those people who got mad that Jaden Maiava, like, oh, who does he think he is? Georgia, USC. Okay. He is probably not going to log a lot of time. I think he has a chance at USC. And he has high hopes and he got some money. He was really good. Really good for 95% of the season with UNLV.